Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So great you can join us. So awesome that you're supporting Spits and Suds this off season as we try to give you as much content as possible. Boy, what a Stanley Cup it has been. And we'll talk to our buddy David Castillo today because I've been noticing some great articles coming out of David's Substack, which is Starstack. And this one caught my eye, and it's very timely. What the Dallas Stars can learn from the 2026 Stanley Cup Finals. So we'll talk to David about that. He's also put out his latest prospects list within the Dallas Stars organization. So a lot to talk to David about in just a second. So let's talk about the on-time experts because they support local hockey in DFW. They're the official HVAC and plumbing company right here of Spits and Suds, also of the Dallas Stars. So they're supporting local hockey. And you know what? Word is out. So our buddy at 100 Degree Hockey, Steven Meserve, he's down in the Austin area, but he was getting repairs done to his garage door. And the technician said, sure, we'll be out sometime between noon and six. And Steven texted me and said, I literally commented to my wife, well, these guys are no on-time experts. Heck yeah. And the reason he's saying that is because same day service guaranteed. And it's not going to be a noon to six. It's going to be you get three or four calls on your cell phone and they're updating the times. So you can run your errands or you can go on your dog walks. You're going to know roughly the exact time that that qualified technician shows up to your house. Those two specials, can't stress them enough. Now the heat is coming. Now that the rain has left us, this week is going to be a hot one. So the $59 first-time customer AC tune-up. Get rid of that dust. Get rid of that grime. Get rid of everything and make sure you're putting life back into your air conditioner because that's going to be less pressure on the system, and that is going to help your power bill. Also, the $99 first-floor drain cleaning. What a great feeling when you're in your bathroom brushing your teeth. You turn on the water and it's a smooth sailing down the drain. Does not take any time. The on-time experts, they'll handle that. I mean, basically it's your wife to-do list that they'll take care of, or the honey-do list, as some people call it. So I know those two tasks are off my list. Take them off your list. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. He is the writer for Stars Stack, which is the Substack. He also writes for D Magazine, the greatness of David Castillo. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Doing well, I should say. I think a lot of it has to do with, I know a lot of Stars fans are not interested per se in watching Carolina and Vegas, especially not interested in Vegas. But nonetheless, for the hockey itself, it's been a really, I don't want to say like a fantastic series, yes, but a series like filled with whiplash. And yes. I don't really think you can ask for anything else, especially as a non-partial observer.
Well, we were talking about this today on 105.3 The Fan. I said to some of my guys, when was the last time that you had an NBA championship series and a Stanley Cup final, and it's been must watch for both leagues? And to me, you have to go back to Cleveland versus Golden State in that seven-game series, which was awesome. And that same year, the Bruins-Vancouver was a terrific Stanley Cup. So to have both playing, you know, basically on consecutive days, and to have awesome hockey and awesome basketball, it's been a fun time to watch sports, specifically here in DFW. The Rangers are playing great as well, so it's good times.
Yeah. It's you know, one of the reasons why I wrote, the article that I did is that I also think it's pretty instructive. You know, if you're looking at both teams, kind of what they have in common, why they're the last two standing, and, you know, what Dallas can kind of take from that, whether it's like overlapping strengths or, you know, like weaknesses that they can kind of improve, they can sort of, you know, try to fix in order to kind of be closer to that. And I've been really impressed with, I think the series has been kind of a really like a good example of why like monocausal narratives are so silly in hockey, where, you know, sort of people have their kind of pre-written narratives and they want to talk about, oh, well, you know, just Vegas is the better team because of X and Y. And well, Carolina is the better team of, you know, depending on who wins or loses. And this is not that at all. I mean, like, you look at how game three ended, right? It was just this silly bank shot that took, you know, just the correct bounce. And so I do think Vegas was really pouring it on in the overtime. And there are definitely things to kind of worry about, you know, if you're a Hurricanes fan. But for the most part, I think it's been very evenly matched. Two teams kind of with very, you know, contrasting styles that are just punching each other in the mouth. And it's just a slugfest.
Well, what I like about your article, too, is it's relatable because before this article came out, I was watching hockey and saying to myself, okay, what can the Stars do so that they're playing right now? And so when you came out with this article, I said, well, I have to get David on because this is very fascinating. And what I love about it is something that we've actually talked about on Spits and Studs a lot. You really focus on what is the identity of the Dallas Stars. And you talk about how the identity for Carolina and Vegas certainly, you know, has taken some time to build, but both teams have identity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had written about it. I'd kind of written about something like this with the, I think it was the second season under Pete DeBoer, where I felt, you know, it's something that we've seen with Dallas, which is, I think it kind of maybe seems like a nebulous kind of concept. But if you're looking at Carolina, right, you can watch them and know exactly what their purpose is, what their mission is. This is a team that's all about speed through the neutral zone, right? They've really honed in on being able to attack off the rush. Now, of course, they can do other things, but that's something that you get from line one to line four and defense pair one to three. And you can identify that, right? You can, that's, you know, everything about what they do kind of flows and funnels into that style of attack, that method to their madness. With Vegas, you know, it's worth remembering, right? They're the original gangsters of the heavy forecheck. This is the blueprint that, you know, Florida more or less copy and pasted, and it started with Vegas. And there are a lot of times where Vegas kind of looks like Florida on the forecheck, especially in this series where it's so heavy, it's so fast, and Vegas gets unfairly kind of, I think, profiled as sort of this kind of big and heavy team. They're actually one of the faster teams in the league. Yes, they're, you know, older, but their forwards are pretty quick. That's kind of changed over the years, and so you can identify that in the way that they play. And when I look at Dallas, I'm always like, what are they trying to do? Like, what is their identity? And Gavin, I propose that question to you. Like, what is Dallas's identity? I'm not talking about special teams. I'm not talking about like star players. Yeah. What is their identity in terms of tactics or systems?
You know, I used Vegas, and I don't know how much I use Carolina, but I always use Vegas. One thing I've always appreciated about Vegas, and yes, they are the evil empire right now, but I do like the versatility, meaning that Vegas can beat you in numerous ways, and they have been able to do that for numerous years. That brings me back to the Dallas Stars and what's their identity. I feel as though, now just bear with me, when the Stars establish a forecheck, when they are heavy in the corners, when they are playing, and I'm not saying drop the gloves, old school Gavin Spittle fighting. I'm just saying when they're playing physical, I feel as though they're very effective. But to me, they have not been able to use that. So therefore, I wonder what the consistent identity of this team is. That's my question, because I have been seeing a trend, and that's my only thing about running it back. It's like, you can run it back, but I think the same thing's going to happen next year in the playoffs. I really do. And I'm not saying that to take shots, but I don't feel as though they've been able to establish the identity Now, they have done it at times during the regular season, and it's been wonderful. But I feel as though, once again, they get pushed around in the playoffs.
So I'll try not to be too like prickly kind of about, because it wasn't a rhetorical question. Fine. You know, well, it's, you know, you can sort of call them, you can look at like certain teams and say like, okay, maybe that's kind of who they can, you know, potentially like emulate. But I just keep going back to like, they're not a forechecking team. They're not a rush team. They don't even particularly like cycle particularly well, or at least consistently. They can do that. But, you know, kind of, you know, it's something I've mentioned before, something that was posted from Dmitry Filipovic's tracking data, which is that after the first round, right, adjusted for minutes, Dallas didn't have a single top 20 forward in terms of chances off the forecheck. And keep in mind, you had like, there were other teams that got swept that had forwards in that group, right? There were forwards from the Kings that actually, you know, had a decent amount of forechecking chances per 60, even Ottawa, and both those teams got swept. So when I think about, you know, kind of talking about, you know, this question about identity, I also think about sort of Carolina and Vegas. They're not perfect teams, but they don't have any broad weaknesses. And Dallas's broad weakness is that they don't possess the puck. I thought it was really interesting kind of looking at like some of the like different numbers, that Dallas was a very, very good faceoff team. I think they were seventh in terms of faceoff differential, and even strength. But they were like, I think they were last place in terms of offensive zone shifts. So I think Carolina took like 500 more offensive zone shifts than Dallas. So if you're good at faceoffs, it doesn't matter if you're never in the offensive zone, right? And that's, I think that kind of speaks to kind of what they lack. One thing that we saw in, you know, against Minnesota, especially with the injury to Hintz, which I think is kind of unfair to Dallas, but that, that they just didn't have the speed. They certainly didn't have the bottom six depth, which Vegas and Carolina, I mean, Vegas is playing, you know, a sort of top nine with Hurdle and, you know, Mark Stone in on their third line. Carolina, you know, has Ehlers and, you know, depending on kind of what they keep, you know, potentially Ehlers and Jarvis on the third line with Jordan Staal. Dallas can't boast that, not even close. And so I think, to me, I feel like, you know, a lot of this kind of physicality stuff is a distraction from the fact that this team is just simply incomplete. And so whatever we think they can become, they're not going to get there just by virtue of, you know, throwing more hits or, you know, executing more kerfuffles, as good as Bischel is at that.
Well, I said they were inconsistent. And I think one of the things in the playoffs that you identify was, I mean, how many times did you see Hughes and Faber cleanly bring it out of the zone, something that wasn't happening against Colorado in the next round? I mean, you cannot allow the quote-unquote point guards just to have free space. And I thought Dallas gave them too much space, and that goes back to your point of, you know, forecheck. You need to tire those two out, or at least try or attempt to put pressure. And if you fail at that, so be it. But I just felt as though the system that, you know, what they were doing as far as circling back and trying to stop them at that point, I thought it was too late because they gained too much speed coming out of their zone.
No, yeah, 100%. And they were, Dallas is another team that just has not been good. And this actually goes back to DeBoer last season. They have not been good at the breakout. You know, even some of the defensemen you would assume are good at exiting the zone with possession weren't good at, which is, you know, odd. And that's not to say that these are sort of poor players in this area, just that, you know, to the extent that there's a link, a connection between players and the system's execution, it just hasn't been there. And I think one of the reasons why I kind of latched on to kind of this notion of identity is that it's so weird that in the Neil era, you haven't had a coach that could really align sort of the offense and defense, because Neil started with Lindy Ruff. Offense at the cost of defense, then switched to Hitchcock, which was a complete 180. Montgomery kind of doubled down on Hitchcock, started to sort of evolve that. And then, you know, we all know what happened next. And then Bonus was like a stereotype of Hitchcock system. And then DeBoer kind of seemed to solve that until, you know, his last season, in which they almost kind of went like Lindy Ruff style, right? The cherry planting, you know, cherry picking, if you want to call it that. So it's really, to me, even though I'm critical of Dallas and kind of like how they've been sort of marketed under sort of Glenn Gullitzen and the way I think they claim to play as opposed to the way they actually play on ice, I do think we often kind of get ahead of ourselves and then overreact just a little bit. And that includes myself to just a first round elimination and kind of what that means. Because, sure. Because I do, you know, something else I wrote about, which was the development trajectory of Maverick Bork, Liam Bischel, and Nils Lundqvist.
I mean, that was my next topic to bring up, but that's a great transition. I love that. Once again, David's another article he wrote, the development path hold for the players still on it, like Maverick Bork, Liam Bischel, and Nils Lundqvist.
And thank you for that plug. And so if those players, like if we can expect collectively take an upward trajectory, which I think we can assume with Bork, probably good for 50 points at least. And Lundqvist, who, you know, even though I was kind of a little sort of on the fence, really skeptical, really kind of showed out towards the end. And Bischel, who's kind of his own story, but I think, you know, broadly speaking, given the development of defensemen, especially, you know, big defensemen, you know, feel like he'll get there. If those players aren't the same next season, well, then Dallas is not quite the same either. And that includes, you know, being healthy, right? So I do think there is a lot of leeway or a lot of runway, I should say, with, I think, looking at those players and I think undercutting the general point that, oh, well, Dallas is running it back unless they do something dramatic. That's not necessarily the case. Because they are a relatively young team, and that's not counting Thomas Harley at 100%, Wyatt Johnston, you know, taking another step. I mean, this is still a player that's not even in his prime. And so, I'm, you know, for as critical as I am, I'm also not necessarily pessimistic about kind of what their chances are in the postseason with the same group.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Well, let me just throw this out there because you mentioned Dorofeev with Las Vegas, Brett Howden, who's just been such an amazing player for Vegas during the playoffs. You mentioned
Luxacker.
What's that?
nothing. He's been great. Yes, I.
So you talk about Jackson Blake, Logan Stankoven. You go through
real quick. About like just insanely like. Value at surplus value contracts, Blake and Stankoven.
Yes. But then you go into also in this article about some players that, you know, are veterans that have joined playoff teams and showed development and improvement. You know, you're always trying to improve players like Taylor Hall, Sean Walker. You bring up Ryan Hartman, who is a star for a day, Marcus Johansson. but I mean, all those players, what I just mentioned, are key pieces because they're low cost but high value. And so that's when development to me comes in big. So I throw this back at you as a player like Sam Steele, who's played on Anaheim and Minnesota. You know, what do you think of a guy like Sam Steele's development having his best years with Dallas?
As much as fans really don't have time for Steele, I just want to spotlight how good he was with Matt Duchene and Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
The DJ Steele line, as I dubbed them. That was a fantastic trio. They had great underlying numbers. I did some film room analysis a while back where Duchene's kind of glow up in the second half was really because of these two. So whatever you think of Steele, whatever you think of Ben, those three had chemistry. Now there was a reason why it got, you know, sort of broken up, but you know, I feel like this is kind of, you look at the players, you look at the two teams in the finals, Vegas and Carolina, And a lot of what's kind of fueling their success and their efficiencies is the fact that these are very intentional lines that have been put together. And you know, even when you look at, you know, sort of, yes, Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, Svechnikov, they've been awful. However, you know, they still help and sort of given other lines the offensive shifts they need to, you know, further punish and control territory. And so when I think about Dallas and kind of where they're lacking, that's another thing. Like, they don't, the chemistry is not there. You know, they have, you know, really sort of nondescript fourth line filled with just too many guys that can only penalty kill and can't score. And then also, you know, this is not taking shots at, you know, fourth liners doing the best they can with what they have. It's also, you know, Wyatt Johnson and Mikko Rantanen. Like, these guys have to connect, and they didn't. They didn't with, you know, especially when you look at their defensive numbers. You know, Dallas struggling to kind of find that, you know, that sort of third man who we thought could be Michael Bunton. Gullitsen had other ideas, which is not necessarily a shot at Gullitsen. You know, there were a lot of reasons for that, but sure. This team has to kind of figure out a way to kind of do what they did with the other lines, but with, you know, say Steele, Duchesne, and Ben. And I don't have a problem with Steele kind of staying with that, you know, with the, I think you're more likely to see Steele with Duchesne and Sagan next season than anything, but nonetheless, I guess it kind of depends on what they do with Ben, who, if he's on the fourth line, I'm on record, I don't mind Ben, say, you know, shifting the captaincy to somebody else and playing on the fourth line. I think Ben is a fourth liner who can score is a lot better than what they have on the fourth line currently.
Sam Steele in 72 games with 33 points, 2.1 million on the cap, also valuable killing penalties as well. I agree with David. And so that's interesting. You need to fill out your team. And I think that's where, you know, we could talk about Mikko Rantanen all day. And yes, absolutely needs to perform. Wyatt Johnson needs to perform. Your top guys, Jason Robertson, needs to perform. But as we're seeing in these Stanley Cup play, it's not necessarily just those guys that need to thrive. Sure, it's the Eichels and the Mitch Marners. But at the same time, you know, here's a Howden coming in and becoming a difference maker. Not that Howden is a spare, but I mean, the way he's been playing has been, you know, quite impressive. Okay. The other article that I was intrigued at was that you have a new prospect pool ratings for 2026, and the hype train continues for Emil Hemming. And it's kind of interesting. His brother's going to be entering the upcoming draft. So, I think Elite Prospects, David, has him as a mid-first rounder. So that'll be interesting to see where his brother goes. But it has been a lot of fun watching Hemming for Barry. And what I put out there was, don't discount the fact that the Stars sent him back to Barry from Texas. There are some teams that would just keep him at the AHL level, but it was a small, but I think a real effective move for Hemming's confidence.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring that up, because it is something that I think was kind of a story unto itself. And I actually wrote quite a bit about why I think they did that. Why I feel like sort of Barry itself, maybe kind of hasn't been the ideal sort of environment for a player like Hemming for a lot of different reasons. And I think the Colts themselves are kind of a story unto itself. One of the rare kind of junior teams that, thanks to the Florida Panthers for whatever reason, not a huge fan, but Hemming was a guy that I, so when I covered the 2024 draft in advance, there were I had about like five forwards that I would have liked at where Dallas ended up picking, and five defensemen I would have liked at where they picked, and Hemming was in my top five among the forwards. So I've always liked this game. I did not like it in his post-draft year, just not enough production, and that's not a good sign for any prospect, whether they're late first round or not. That's not a good sign, because development, you know, especially at that age, usually happens you know, on a curve, and that curve usually goes higher the younger they are. But he had a really good second half in his post-draft year. This year, a good first, a good second, a dynamite postseason, and that was without the top center that he usually played with, Cole Bwadin, in the finals, where Barry just got smashed, like just absolutely like decimated. But Hemming was not the problem. And in fact, if you go to the article, you'll see that I had a previous piece where I kind of spotlighted his finals performance. So a lot of film room stuff, you know, for those that are interested. But his goal of the year in that finals performance. And yeah, I'm a believer now. I'll probably still nitpick, you know, some of the players that kind of, you know, went after him. But he is just kind of everything you could ask for. He's got size. He's got speed. Plays on the power play. Plays on the penalty kill. And is just exactly what Dallas could use. One of the reasons why my hot take is that Dallas may have the appetite to potentially play him at the NHL level this season, especially if he, you know, ends up kind of showing out in the AHL, which I think the Texas Stars are pretty well positioned to kind of really take advantage of him, especially if he's next to like Artem Schlein or something like that. So I'm really eager to see where his development goes. It took me some time, but count me in as a fan. And I think easily Dallas's best prospect.
And number two on the list, you had Cameron Schmidt, which is interesting. I was asking Sean about junior hockey. He's been on three teams since being in the juniors. What have you seen out of the youngster who, when he was picked in the third round by Dallas, everyone was really excited and thought that Dallas got a really good player with some size questions, but a high upside in Schmidt?
I feel like nothing's changed. I mean, he 100 points on the year. That was third in the WHL. He had the highest mark in terms of goals with 51. And, you know, nothing's really kind of changed in terms of easily has the highest ceiling. I think, to me, the question about Schmidt is less about, and by the way, I should say, I think that's still impressive. Like, we don't say enough about how hard it is. You know, like scoring takes work, right? It's not just something you turn a switch on or off. So just because like Schmidt may not be a Selke candidate doesn't mean that he's not, busting his rear end to make plays, which he does constantly. Just an endless motor. For Schmidt, I think for most people, and again, this is the reason why he went, you know, where he did. I think for Schmidt, the question is, can he develop more playmaking habits that can make him more of a sort of triple threat if he's to make it? Because that's really the only way that he'll have success, and the only way that he'll translate is if he can kind of do more than just kind of be a shooter, challenge guys one-on-one, which he does extremely well, but it's not something he'll be able to get away with. Not just at the NHL, but even in the AHL, right? That's just not how you're going to be able to kind of make plays. And so I'm still excited about him. I think any Stars fans should be excited about him, but he definitely has kind of a more of an uphill battle in terms of developing, you know, different layers to his game to kind of be more of a threat at what he's already good at.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you don't have Trey Taylor on the top of your list, and I was interested in that. You do mention, you know, him, but a player that was getting so much playing time and power play minutes in Texas, is it an age thing why you don't have him as one of the top prospects?
That's it. So for those that know me, like know that I of course, you know, I saw a lot of Trey Taylor when I was paying attention to Artem Martino, another prospect that I like, watching them at Clarkson. So I love his game, and he was good. He was fantastic in the AHL, never skipped a beat. The only reason why Taylor is not on the list is that I try to be kind of strict with how we define prospects. I think of players under the age of 23. And the only reason for that is that we do have some research on sort of what tends to be the development path for prospects. And of course, there are always, you know, anomalies, but for the most part, it takes, you know, the average prospect approximately 4 seasons to make an NHL roster. So Taylor's kind of past that cutoff. And that's the only reason why. That does not mean at all that Taylor can't, you know, make a cameo in the NHL. He's easily the more advanced defensive prospects they have. I won't say defensive prospect, but you know, in terms of a defenseman that could, you know, get some playing time in the NHL, Taylor would definitely be at the top of the list.
You mentioned Matthew Semenoff, David, and what a year he had in Texas coming off his first AHL year, and really worked hard in the offseason and had a terrific year in Texas. And Semenoff was that guy at Kamloops that, you know, was kind of around when Logan Stankoven was drafted, and Semenoff had a great year down in juniors. So, as you mentioned in your first line, talk about a glow up. And yeah, that second season in AHL seemed as though Semenoff really got what it took to be a pro.
It's just a slight correction. It was his third season in the AHL.
Third, my bad.
No worries. Semenoff was a guy that I think, you know, we had kind of, especially prospect nerds, you know, we'd all sort of enjoyed because of the connection to Stankoven. But also it was tough. Like initially it was kind of tough to see like, well, exactly what he would become, because he just didn't necessarily have the size, the strength, seemed to have the skill, but also didn't have the skating. And slowly but surely, he's kind of worked into and proven pretty much all areas of the game. I mean, for a player his age, 50 points, especially for the Texas Stars, who, as everybody knows, really struggled out the gate. They went winless in October, and so I kind of tend to grade everybody on a curve. And so Semenoff definitely was not that. I didn't need to grade him on a curve because he just kind of showed out this season. He's a player that I think has, I think I use the expression kind of blue chip hands, really great puck handling, really great shooting, good release. I think if you're looking for a dark horse pick, even though he plays a right wing, which, you know, Dallas already has plenty of, nonetheless, if you're looking for like a dark horse pick, you can do a lot worse than Semenoff.
Will you trust Gavin Spittle's scout's eyes? Because many people said, hey, you brought up Justin Ritzkovian early in the mix. And I'm telling you guys, if you like Justin, Dylan's pretty special too. I've heard from a number of people, they really like Dylan's game.
Yeah, no, he he didn't make the list only because of his age. But if I were just doing a kind of, you know, non-NHL list, he would be, yes, like near the top. I think in part because he's not entirely, I would say he's nothing kind of like his brother, to be honest, but there's a speed there that, man, I would love to see Dallas leverage on the fourth line. I was really impressed. He just showed not just kind of a tenacity and like a skill level that you want in players like this, players that could potentially make the cut, but also kind of a tenacity that, you know, we would expect from a Ritzkovai.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, David, you're pushing out, and I'm not just tooting your horn because you're on the program, but I mean, I love these three articles. I always love the prospect list. And then you talk about the development of Bork and Lundqvist and Bischel, and then what the Dallas Stars can learn regarding the two teams that are in the Stanley Cup. And what we got out of that was identity for the Dallas Stars. So great content, David. Keep up the great work, man. You can catch up with David at David Castillo on Twitter. And also, he is the host of Star Stack. That is his Substack, as well as he writes for D Magazine. You are the man, David. Congrats on all your off-season content. We certainly do appreciate reading it.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. And we appreciate you as well, not just for pumping our tires, but for running out quality shows pretty much each and every day, really sort of hustling, grinding to make the Dallas Stars community a place with just better national coverage. And by the way, don't forget, I will be doing game recaps for the Cup Finals at Sticks and Salvos.
Oh, okay. So that's your Sticks and Salvos. And then talk about the Discord for a second, your Discord channel and what that's all about.
Yes. Stars Discourse on Discord. For those that don't know, it's just a little, we're about kind of 464 members. All the big names are on there, including Dmitry Filipovich, who I understand you've tried to get on the show and refuses to answer the call. we'll work on that. We'll try to twist Dmitry's arm.
Thank you, sir.
Because I know we all love the guy, and we love just like we love you. And yes, ton of fun. It's where I hang out probably the most, because I'm tend to kind of stay away from social media, and also have a really cool sci-fi book club that everybody is invited to.
Wow. All right. There you go. The multi-talented and versatility is key. David Castillo. Thanks again, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to producer Gregory Finley, who's a big part of this program behind the scenes. Also, thanks to the on-time experts. They make it happen. Remember, same day service guaranteed. Support Spits and Suds by supporting the on-time experts. Until our next podcast, which will happen real soon, truly appreciate all of you listening. Don't forget, you can leave a review on Apple Reviews if that's where you listen to your podcast. We got analytics and said most of you do listen on Apple Podcasts. If you can just like that or give us as many stars as you want, that really helps us because we want to get those mentions up, or like many of you do, love the guests that you have on in Spits and Suds. That motivates us to get more guests on. So until our next podcast, thanks so much again and have a great day, everyone.